In The Lord of the Rings, the Sackville Bagginses became dictators of the whole Shire while Frodo and co. were away saving Middle-earth. Really? So what happened? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into Tolkien's legendarium, as well as the worlds of A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. We know the Sackville Bagginses from The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, particularly their obsession with Bilbo's silver spoons. But by the end of The Lord of the Rings, they were more than just pantomime villains. Lotho Sackville Baggins had in fact installed himself as an effective dictator of the Shire. So what happened? Well, first of all, let's be clear on who they are. The Sackville Bagginses are the descendants of Camellia Sackville and Longo Baggins. Longo was Bungo Baggins' younger brother, so Bilbo's uncle. And it's probably worth saying that this was the marriage of two very well-to-do families in the Shire. The Baggins are very respectable, and the Sackvilles are very rich, being big in the pipeweed business. Longo and Camellia had a son named Otho, who married Lobelia Bracegirdle, who we know as Lobelia Sackville Baggins. Otho and Lobelia may have been rich and respectable, but there was one thing they lacked and wanted. Bag End. It was the most desirable house in the area, and they decided that, as Bilbo had no children, they must be the heirs. To be fair to them, if Bilbo had died or disappeared without a will naming Frodo his heir, they probably would have inherited. And when Bilbo returned at the end of The Hobbit to find that he was now legally considered dead, as he'd been gone so long, they were there measuring his rooms for their furniture. Even more obnoxiously, they then refused to acknowledge that the returned Bilbo really was the real Bilbo, holding on to a false narrative from then on that this must be an imposter trying to rob them of their inheritance. They didn't get that, though Bilbo long suspected that they had taken the opportunity to help themselves to more than a few of his prized silver spoons. Bilbo's longevity further frustrated them, as did his decision to explicitly name Frodo his heir, cutting them out. Still, time passed and a new generation took over. Frodo in Bag End and Lotho, son of Otho and Lobelia, heading up the Sackville Baggins family. And Lotho had bigger ambitions. One of the family's sources of wealth were some extensive properties and pipeweed plantations in the South Farthing. He was approached by an intermediary, one of the big people, to export the best longbottom leaf for a good price, an offer he greedily took up. We know, though he probably didn't, that the buyer actually was Saruman, who had developed a taste for it, though had kept that a secret as he had mocked Gandalf for so long for smoking it. That's why, later in the story, Merry and Pippin found those barrels of longbottom leaf in Isengard's storerooms. They had been bought from Lotho Sackville Baggins. Anyway, back in the Shire, this new income stream made Lotho even richer, and he set about using that money to buy up property elsewhere in the Shire. Principally, he bought up the Old Mill in Hobbiton. This seemingly happened before Frodo even left the Shire, though it was done in secret so no one knew. Remember, the Shire wasn't a very capitalist society and didn't really export anything, so this sudden influx of outside money completely destabilised the economy. Lotho was in a position to dream big. And then Frodo announced that he was leaving Bag End and moving to Crick Hollow near his Brandybuck relatives. Lotho greedily bought Bag End from him, the property his parents had long desired. On the 23rd of September 3018, he and his mother collected the keys and they moved in shortly after. At which point, our attention in the story moves away from the Shire, as Frodo left Hobbiton that same day and we follow him and the other three out of the Shire. Other than Sam's brief vision in the Mirror of Galadriel, we see or hear nothing of goings-on in the Shire until the hobbits return there more than a year later at the end of the story. What happened in the Shire during that year, though, was nothing short of a complete overhaul of the hobbit way of life. Lotho acted quickly after moving into Bag End. He ordered the Old Mill destroyed and replaced with something bigger and more industrial, and other similar buildings to be built on the land he had acquired. Inconvenient trees were felled to make room. He hurriedly bought up more properties across the Shire and hired some big people from outside to work on the building projects. Sensing another business opportunity, he expanded his export to other goods besides pipeweed, selling to big people outside the borders of the Shire, and his coffers filled up even more. At which point, the problem started, because the Shire had previously operated on a self-sufficient basis, so when Lotho started selling foodstuffs and other essentials to the big people, there wasn't enough left for the hobbits. There were shortages heading into wintertime, and the people understandably blamed Lotho. Lotho responded by getting those big people who were working on his building projects to stay and enforce his rule, because it was by this point effectively him ruling. If anyone objected, his ruffians would pay them a visit and made sure they were put back in their place. When Will Whitfoot, the mayor of the Shire, objected in a more formal way, Lotho had his men imprison him in what became known as the Lockholes, storage tunnels turned to jails in Mickledelving. In the new year of 3019, any pretense that this was anything other than the establishment of a totalitarian regime was dropped. Lotho invented a new title for himself, Chief Sheriff, and demanded to be called the Chief. He rewrote the rules, the laws of the land, to support his regime, and in particular, closed all the inns. This, as well as being a huge blow to hobbits' social lives, prevented them from gathering in large groups to discuss things and organise themselves. This was how Lotho and his ruffians managed to control the Shire, even with them being massively outnumbered by the hobbitry at large. Yes, the ruffians were bigger and had proper weapons, but they also divided and conquered, intimidating or arresting one family or person at a time, and never letting the hobbits group together to oppose them. There was opposition, of course. The Tooks in particular did not allow the ruffians into Tookland, defending their land by force more than once, and there were individual heroes too. Fredegar Bolger led a small group of resistance hiding out in a set of tunnels in the East Farthing. Remember Fredegar Bolger? He was a part of the conspirators of Bag End with Merry, Pippin and Sam, who got Frodo out to Crick Hollow and secretly provisioned him to go further out of the Shire. The others went on, while Fredegar stayed at Crick Hollow, buying them precious time making the house look lived in and pretending that Frodo was there. When the Nazgul arrived looking for Frodo, he raised the alarm and the Nazgul were forced to flee. But his story doesn't end there, because soon after that, he will have become aware of Lotho's coup attempt and turned his attention to opposing that, quite the unsung hero. He was captured by Lotho's men, however, and imprisoned in the Lockholes, where he was starved as a punishment. You'll remember that he was affectionately known as Fatty Bolger, not so much after his heroics, sadly for him. In all this, Lotho must have seemed unassailable, but his rule lasted less than a year. You'll remember that the core of those ruffians supporting him were the men Lotho had been dealing with to export his pipeweed. He brought them into the Shire to help with his industrialisation project, then turned them into his personal bully squad. But they remained Saruman's men, not Lotho's. And when Saruman was released from Orthanc by Treebeard, he headed up to the Shire, both because he knew it well and because that's where his men were. And his men called him Sharky, not Saruman. Saruman assumed that it was a term of affection, though it was probably just an orcish name for him that some humans had come to use. Anyway, when Sharky arrived in September of 3019, he just took over from Lotho, moving into Bag End and assuming the reins of power. The ruffians already worked for him anyway. Lotho was disappeared and never seen again. There's a rather grim side note here that when confronted by the hobbits on this, Saruman proudly states that he had Grima kill Lotho, and even hints he made him eat him. We don't know if that was just Saruman being deliberately cruel in making up his insinuations or actually true, as I said, rather grim. I've talked elsewhere about how our four hobbit heroes managed to rally the hobbitry at large to overthrow Sharky's rule. It didn't actually take them that long with the people united behind them. So let's instead focus on what happened afterwards and some of the unexpected positives that emerged from this. Because although this was undoubtedly one of the darkest periods in the Shire's history, there were some rays of sunshine that crept through afterwards. Sam set to replanting the Shire, and although it would never be the same as it once was, the new party tree, the Malon tree grown from an acorn, a gift from Galadriel, was beautiful, and the next year's harvest was one of the best ever. And on a more personal note, let's return to everyone's favourite spoon-stealer-in-chief, Lobelia Sackville Baggins. After all those years tormenting Bilbo and then standing by her son as he brutally subdued the whole Shire, she seems to have been changed by her experience here. She was by this point over 100 years old, and although she stood by her son while he was in charge, when Sharky arrived, things changed. She had stood up to the ruffians, hitting one of them with her umbrella, and was imprisoned for it, emerging much later barely able to walk. On her release, devastated by news of her son's death, she declined to ever step foot in Bag End again. Remember, she had spent most of her life trying desperately to take that property from the Bagginses. Instead, she gave it back to Frodo. Not sold it, gave it, and retired back to her home village. And when she died a year later, she left all her money, and she had a lot of money, remember, to Frodo, with instructions that it was to be used to help those hobbits who had been left homeless by the actions of her son and of Saruman. It's one of the most unlikely but oddly touching redemption arcs in the whole story, and definitely one of the most overlooked. So Lotho's coup of the Shire was a success for nearly a year anyway, if by success you mean granting Lotho all the power and money he wanted. For everyone else, it was a terrible time. I suppose it is just very Tolkien that emerging from even those darkest of days could be some of the unlikeliest rays of hope. If you'd like to see more videos breaking down Tolkien's Legendarium in nerdy detail, there's a link to my playlist on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.